Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Let me read verse 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord and Savior and God. We thank you for this wonderful time of hearing of your word. Grant us an ear to hear so that we may hear your loving voice telling us wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. Let us hear your voice from your word. And Father, we pray, as you have promised, that as we hear your word, our faith will grow. And will grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be more and more like him every single moment of our lives. Be with us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we'll begin verse 2 today. From verse 1, we have been learning about who we are in Jesus Christ. What is our eternal reality of heaven? Well, we are the servants of Jesus Christ, which means we do his will. We are his servants. We obey him and we serve him. And even though we live here on earth, we are also in Jesus Christ. He is the realm in which we live. We are united to him. And we do participate in his life. His life is our life. And we are the saints of God, the holy people of God. We have been chosen and set apart from sin and from this world. And we are his church that he himself has built. And verse 2 tells us what kind of heavenly blessings that our God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ pour out to his church. Verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You will see this phrase in almost every letter that Paul has written to God's churches. So we saw this when we look at the 2 Corinthians. So a lot of it that we're going to talk about today will be reviewed, but there are new things as I prepare again and again on the same phrase. I learn more and more and more. Now, verse 2 is a part of the greeting section or the salutation section of the letter. Here, Paul is saying hello, his greeting. And we believe that Paul has written this letter, but ultimately God himself is the author of this letter. Thus, we use this verse as the salutation of God. The salutation of God to his people during the covenant worship of God. Because we find this phrase in the salutation section of God's word. Now, that is why in the beginning of worship, I raise my hands and recite this verse to you. God's salutation to you, you, his people. God blesses his church, God blesses his people, and he blesses you with grace and peace. And these are not just grace and peace that this sinful world knows about, because obviously grace, the word grace and peace, the world uses it too. But this grace and peace are from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From this salutation of God to God's people, we learn that the new age has begun. Because you will not find salutation of God like this in the Old Testament. It's completely new. Thus, indicating that the new age has begun, that the church age has begun. Thus, the 1,000-year messianic kingdom has begun. Time in between his first coming and his second coming, church age, this salutation tells us that heaven has begun in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, through what he has done and accomplished by him, our eternal reality of salvation has been accomplished. Our eternal reality of heaven has been accomplished. What has been accomplished? Well, our verse tells us that God is now our Father. And Jesus Christ is our Lord, and he is the Christ. See, in the Old Testament, all these kind of things is in the dark. You will not know Jesus is the Christ in the Old Testament. There will be a Christ, the Messiah, who will come, and it talks about him, but we now know who that Messiah is, clearly. Jesus Christ, the new beginning has already begun. God is our Father now, and Jesus Christ is our Lord, and he is the Christ that the Old Testament has promised. He has come, and he has accomplished the salvation of God for his people. Thus, we are now God's sons. And we are now his people and the citizen of his kingdom. Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of God as the king, and he, with his Father, sends God's blessing to his people. And that is exactly what is going on in our verse. Grace and peace. As I have told you so many times, as I raise my hands and recite this verse to you in the beginning of worship every Lord's Day, I am reminded of God's goodness to us. I am reminded how blessed we are in Jesus Christ. Because what we truly deserve, even according to how we have lived last week, what we truly deserve is the eternal punishment of hell. I should say to you, eternal condemnation from God to you. Because all those sins you have committed last week deserves his condemnation. But that is not what we hear from God as we gather to worship. Grace and peace. Yes, as we begin our worship and you hear these words of God, grace and peace, you must realize how blessed you are. You must realize your heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished. How can God, the judge of all, does not judge you, but sends grace and peace? What has happened that this is so? That is why we begin our worship with thankfulness in our hearts and this amazement that God actually sends grace and peace to sinners like us. Yes, we are so blessed. We are blessed people of God. God sent Paul, and Paul communicates God's salutation to his people. Your God, understand? Your King welcomes you. It's welcoming salutation. Every time we gather as His church, God blesses you. As God's church, you and I, we possess grace and peace from our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The ministry of God's church is then the instrument that God uses to bring this grace and peace to His people. This is what the ministry of the church is all about. Grace and peace. Now, as I prepare this, there's so much to say. But I don't want to linger too much on this. We could stay here for many months, just talk about God's grace. But I want to take today to talk about grace and next time to talk about peace. Grace. We have to repeat things here because grace is unmerited God's favor. Or we would like to say demerited God's favor, even though what we truly deserve is the eternal judgment of hell. But God still blesses us. That's grace. We are all sinners, and what sinners deserve is God's eternal judgment. And you need to really understand that. As a sinner, you deserve God's eternal judgment. And it's not like we sinned a long time ago and now we don't sin. We constantly sin. Thus, we constantly deserve God's eternal punishment. So whatever God does to us, short of sending us to hell forever, is grace. Understand? You might find yourself in really serious situation in this world, maybe suffering or maybe really bad situation, whatever it might be, you need to understand that anything short of sending you to eternal hell is God's grace. And it's not just, you know, understand that in a negative way. It's God's grace because God told us that God causes all things, even those bad things to us, to our understanding. God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So it's not just bad things happening and you compare that bad things to eternal hell and you say, oh, well, I deserve worse, so it's good. No, it's not just like that. That bad situation, you think that bad situation, it is actually good for the purpose that God has for you. What is sin? Well, sin is disobeying God, and even in obeying, not obeying perfectly. Thus, all we do is sin apart from Jesus Christ. No one is able to do good. No one is righteous, not even one. No one does good, not even one, Romans tells us. And Romans 8, 7 and 8, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. All those who are not saved cannot please God, the Bible clearly says. All who have been fallen in sin, and all of mankind has been fallen in sin, cannot please God. No one is able to do good according to God's standard. Thus, no one is able to be saved by his or her own works. If judged by works, then all you find is God's eternal judgment. Thus, salvation is by grace. Now, very fundamental things, you know, this. And yet, we need to be reminded of these things. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. How clear you want God to say this? By the works, no one will be saved. Thus, if you want to be saved by your own works, then all you will find is the eternal judgment of hell. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, you have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law, meaning by works. What is law? You obey the law by works. I mean, this is serious. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Romans chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. See, these people, oh, you have given them the credit. They have zeal. And zeal for God. You know, when Paul was going around killing Christians, he did that for the glory of God. But he wasn't saved then. He didn't understand the gospel. But he thought that he was doing, even killing Christians, for God. So yes, we give them that credit. They have zeal for God. But these people having that zeal for not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they didn't understand this righteousness that is coming from God. It's God's righteousness given to us. They didn't understand that, so that they were trying to establish their own righteousness. In fact, never able to possess that God's righteousness. Thus, they're doomed. With their zeal, they're destroyed. Does the Bible use the words grace and works as the antonyms? Romans 11:6, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. This is very important. If it is works, then it's not grace. And if it's grace, then it's not by works. And because it is by grace, It must be by faith. Because it's about you believing. It's not about what you do. So if it is by grace, then it must be by faith. And this is what we find in Romans chapter 4, verse 16a. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. Did you hear that? In order it to be grace, it is by faith. Otherwise, it has to be by works. All that God does to us, all that God does for us, are grace. Thus, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, by grace of God, I am what I am. Otherwise, ultimately, what you will say is that I'm in hell and being punished by God forever and ever. That's all you could say unless God's grace is fall upon you. If you are not the recipient of God's grace, ultimately, all you could say is that I'm in hell forever and ever. That's it. So you need to understand, you got to be so thankful. And this is what is lacking. We blame things. We complain. There's no thankfulness in us. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, he called you by the grace of Christ. Titus chapter 3 verse 7, being justified by his grace. Romans 5 2, we enter that grace. And Romans chapter 6 verse 14, we live under that grace. And Ephesians chapter 1 6, we live to the praise of the glory of his grace. This is what we are all about. We shout out aloud. God's grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works. So that no one may boast. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 to 24. For all have sinned again. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the gospel. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. If this is not true, then there is no good news. We'll all go to hell. Then what's the meaning and purpose of our lives, if that's what's going to happen? See, you cannot really talk about your accomplishments or the meaning or the purpose of your lives if only thing that is waiting for you is eternal hell. But the gospel says it's not by your works. Because if it is by your works, then you cannot do this. You cannot gain your salvation. Thus, the ministry of the church then is bringing this grace and peace. We'll talk about that next time. Bring the gospel to God's people
bring that good news to you. You must believe and be saved. And once you're saved, you will never lose that salvation. Never. Not even your sins can nullify what Christ has already accomplished for you. You know, I don't have a time since I tried to shorten my sermons these days, but not successful most of times. But let me just say, you may read at home, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. It tells us that God choosing the Israelites in the Old Testament was grace. It was not because they deserved God's blessing that they have received His blessing. Though it was typological. The concept of blessing, concept of grace, I should say, is clearly shown even in the Old Testament. God says, I did not choose you, Israel, because you were great. Actually, you are the smallest country, but it's by grace I chose you. They possessing the promised land was grace. God said, you're not going to possess these lands because you're righteous, you did, you know, good things. No, God says, you didn't do any of that. But I will give you this land. It's God's grace. Because what they truly deserve is God's eternal punishment because they sinned. But and yet God brought them out of Egypt. And yet God took them into the promised land, and God gave this land to them as their possession. All was God's grace, but they have completely forgotten God's grace, and all they did was sin against this gracious God. But the gospel continues. Even though God pours out His grace, and yet these people were just sinning more and more against God, even though that happened, God promises grace. This gracious God, our God, continues to promise grace to His people. And here in our passage, Paul announces the fulfillment of that promise in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. He is the perfect revelation of the grace of God. John chapter 1 verse 14 and 17, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Do you understand? All is in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, and because of Christ, and for Christ. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to anything that is connected to God and heaven, it's all in Christ, through Christ, by Christ, because of Christ, and for Christ. Thus, all is grace to us. All is by our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus God says, John 15 verse 5b, apart from me, you can do nothing. Oh yeah, you could sin, you could make money, you could invent computers or whatever, even that is common grace. I don't want to get into all this common grace business, but when he says, apart from me, you cannot do anything, he's not saying you cannot do those things. Yeah, you could do all those things, but when it comes to pleasing God, when it comes to accomplishing your salvation, when it comes to receiving that eternal blessing, you cannot do anything apart from Christ. Thus, concerning those things, all is God's grace. And because all is God's grace, there is no boasting in Christianity. This is very important, and I'm so glad that I don't see this that often in our church. I saw it when I was going to other churches. It's about boasting how spiritual they are and how good they are, so how much God is blessing them. We don't want to hear that. You know, these old stories, you know, when I was whatever, whatever. And you just walk by because you don't want to hear this, because there is no boasting in Christianity. People who boast, they still do not understand the grace of God. That's it. And you pray for them because they still don't get it. That's why they boast. Because if they truly understand that it is grace, there's no boasting. Because what is grace? Well, God blessing you even though what you did deserve God's eternal hell. Then how can you boast when you understand grace? This grace of God will fulfill all things, and this grace is always sufficient as far as God's purpose that He has for you. And this grace of God will change us. And this grace of God will make us more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust God's grace. It will change you. From me-centered to God-centered. From this world-centered to heaven-centered. This grace will change you. Yes, bit too slow for our taste. But in God's time. And even in our perspective, it is slow. Doesn't mean it is actually slow. And I believe, personally, it seems slow because it requires our faith. Even you becoming more and more like Christ, you must trust God. Not because you actually go out and do all these great things and it's so clear you are becoming more like Christ. Not like that. But you need to trust Him. Have faith in His work. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I bring to you the good news that God loves you and He pours out His grace upon you. And in spite of you, God's purpose will be fulfilled in you, in your life. One more thing, and I'll end with this. Go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 29.
Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake. That word granted has the same root as the word grace. Thus, some translation has it, graciously granted. Or you could even say, for to you, grace has been given for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, so many people who go to church will not understand this. What do you mean? That God pours out His grace that I may suffer? Yes, that is what it says. Because these people don't associate God's grace with sufferings. Because these people, they only associate worldly success, worldly goods, to God's grace. But really, do they have worldly success and worldly goods because of God's grace? Then what happens to non-Christians who are so successful and so wealthy? Oh, it's because God poured out His grace upon them, non-Christians? No. We're talking about heavenly success and heavenly things and suffering in this world. Do you understand the gospel? Very unpopular message to the world. But as we deal with the Philippians, we need to deal with this. Because it comes out in Philippians that God pours out His grace for not only for we believing in Christ, but also suffer for Him. Brothers and sisters, God's grace is upon you. Which means you have all the heavenly success and heavenly wealth forever and ever. But it also means that when you live your life here on earth, there will be sufferings for Christ's sake. And when I say suffering, don't just think of, you know, no food, no money, no place to sleep. I mean, it could be that too. But even with lots of money and big house, you could still suffer for Christ because of your faith. Your friends will abandon you because of what you believe in. They will just hate you without any reason. That happened to Jesus Christ, and it will happen to you. But God's grace is poured out to you. God's grace is sufficient for us to make us participate in His sufferings and make us more and more like Jesus Christ. And I'm so happy as a pastor, as the minister of God's word, I could pronounce this salutation of God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your blessings upon us. What we truly deserve is your eternal punishment of hell. And yet, Father, you pour out grace and peace. Oh, Father, we are so blessed. And let us live our lives in realization, in understanding, in faith of what you have done and what you are doing and what you will ultimately consummate. Let us live with joyful hearts, thankfulness, and let us serve you and worship you now and forever. We thank you, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.